The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
1 Samuel chapter 4 begins with verse 1. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer. Everybody say Ebenezer, please. That's a good word, Ebenezer. That's a good one. I don't ever want you to forget it. All you think that is a Baptist church. But boy, you're going to know what it is before you leave here. I'm preaching today on the Ebenezer principle. The Ebenezer principle. The Philistines encamped beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped in Aphek. Israel and the Philistines would fight a horrific battle at a place called Ebenezer. And I don't have time to point it all out, but verse 10 tells us that 30,000 Israeli soldiers were killed. And the one verse before, 4,000 were killed in another place. In that one chapter, 34,000 of Israel's greatest warriors were slain at a place called Ebenezer. And then it begins to open up what happened that same day. The Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant. For the first time in human history, pagan hands had the Ark of the Covenant, which was the symbol of God's presence under the Old Covenant. Pagan hands had captured it, never had any, not even the Israelites could touch it, only the priests. And if they touched it, they couldn't touch the Ark. They had to use a beam on their shoulder. And if they touched it, they died. But pagan hands stole the presence of God, didn't steal it, God let them take him. He didn't, no man takes my life, I lay it down freely. And they take it back to the hometown of the Philistines and take it into the temple of Dagon. And when that battle at Ebenezer happened, verse 13 tells us that they took the Ark of God and the people's hearts trembled. And there was an old priest named Eli in verse 15, and he was 98 years old, and we're told that his sons were killed in the battle. And when he was told that his sons were killed in the battle, he fell backwards and broke his neck. The high priest of Israel is dead. The two sons are dead. And now his daughter-in-law is triggered and goes into having a baby. And as she's having the baby, she starts dying. It's evident to her and everyone that she is dying, giving birth to a child. And she says with her dying passing words, "Name this child Ichabod, for the glory of the Lord has departed from Israel." This is a bad place. Ebenezer is a dark day. Ebenezer is where the 34,000, then two sons, then a grandfather, an old man is dead. And now the mother and the daughter-in-law is dead. Think about it. This baby is born into a world. It does not have a mother. It does not have a father. It does not have a grandfather. It does not have a God. Even God, under the old covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, for the first time ever, Israel seen God abandoned. And she said, "Name him Ichabod." As a memorial of this horrible, horrible day in our lives. Same book, go over from 4 to chapter 7, and we are in the same spot where the war took place. Something miraculous has happened. Something supernatural has happened. Israel was called to prayer and repentance. And when they began to repent at the beckoning of the great prophet Samuel, when they cried out to God and said, "Forgive us and cleanse us," help us. The Bible said that God thundered from heaven. Listen to this in verse 10. The Philistines were coming to attack them one last time and wipe them out. But now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, and the verse before talks about they cried out to the Lord of Israel, the Lord asking and begging for his help. And the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day and so confused them that they were overcome by Israel. And Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far below Bethkar. Then Samuel, watch, took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer. And here's the meaning. Here's the translation. This is what this word literally in the Hebrew language translates over into. When you say that word, Ebenezer, this is what you're saying. Hitherto, which is not a, that's an old English classic language word. Hitherto, which means right up to this moment, up to here, up to now. Right to this very point that we are at, the Lord has helped us. This stone is the stone of help. And we will never forget, no matter what we face from this day forward, that everything we have gone through that looked like and it should have and would have and could have taken us out. We're putting a large stone here as a memorial to say, up to this point, I want to declare to our enemies, and I want to declare to a faithful God, and I want to declare to any of the people who thought that we were finished up to this point, the Lord has helped us. When I think about this church, and I think about all the stuff for almost too long, a lot of decades, all I can say is up to this point, the Lord has helped us every time. No matter what the crisis, no matter what the emergency, no matter what the need, no matter what the complexion of the problem was, and the simple, I don't know what to do moments. I can tell you. I love it because while I preach this message, I'm preaching it to myself. There have been hundreds of times I've walked to this pulpit with almost nothing to say. Didn't know what I was going to preach. Nothing I had studied moved me. And I just walked into this pulpit, and all I can say sometimes is up to this very moment, the Lord, unless he wants to mess his perfect record up until this very moment, the Lord has helped me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't need another thing. I don't worry about next week, next Sunday. All I can worry about is right here, right now, and I feel his help in this moment. And you do too. And sometimes you need to build a memorial. Joshua did this all through the book of Joshua. Every time they would win a victory or some great miraculous thing would happen, God would open up the Jordan River and they would walk across and he would take stones and build a memorial. And he said this in the scripture, in the 24th chapter, he said, And this shall be a witness unto us, that this stone shall be a witness unto us that he has heard all the words which the Lord spoke unto us. And this stone is a witness that God said it. And this is the completion of the miracle. We're putting stones right here to say he told us he would bring us in to the promised land. He told us he would defeat our enemies. He told us he would watch over us as the apple of his eye. He told us he would feed us in the wilderness with manna from heaven and water out of rocks. He told us he would be all that we would ever need. And I'm putting a memorial right here as a silent witness that every time for generations they look and they see these stones piled up, that God has been faithful. And boy, let me tell you something. If these walls could talk, if this church could talk, if we could go back to the other building and the other building, if I could tell you the stories of the times that God would give prophecies and God would give words, and sometimes I would preach things, and sometimes in prayer meetings, God would give forth a message and a word or just a thought that would come, a strong impression, and it would be a prophetic thing, and God has promised it, and God has done it. And Ebenezer, all I have to do to feel good and to worship God is just say Ebenezer up until this moment. And I'm not speaking in tongues, but if that helps you, try it. Ebenezer, up until this very moment, the Lord has been my help. My God, he has been with me. He's parted every Jordan and every Red Sea. He's fought every enemy. If they came one way, they have fled seven. If no weapon formed against us has prospered. And we ought to be thankful and understand that if these walls could talk, they are a silent witness. And up until this moment, the Lord has helped that people. Same in your home. Same in your family. If your walls could talk, of all the nights you walked those halls and you cried and you prayed, if those walls could talk, the bed you turned and tossed in, worrying and praying and worrying and praying, the times when those teenagers were out doing crazy things and you didn't know what to do. I'm so glad I'm at the age I am. I'm so glad that me and Sharice have been married 38 years this year, and we made it. We made it. My Lord, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. Hitherto has the Lord helped me. Everybody take a praise break. I'm going to try to behave. I know you brought your neighbor, and I know you brought your unsaved friend, but they feel God right now. You should have been killed in a bar. Somebody should have been killed in a car wreck. Somebody should have got shot and killed, all the shady stuff you've been in. But up unto this moment, here you are. God preserved you. God kept you. God held you. God assigned his angels around you like a ring of fire, keeping you day and night. The drugs couldn't kill you. The overdose couldn't kill you. The gunshot couldn't kill you. The car wreck couldn't kill you. Because God said, I'm not done with them yet. Hallelujah. All right, calm down. Glory. Hallelujah. I want you to think with me for just a moment that in the same place, in the same place where they had one of their most horrific defeats, in Ebenezer, where in one day they lost 34,000 of their men, in one day the high priest's family was wiped out, completely wiped out, except for one baby. In one day the high priest is killed. In one day the woman cries and dies giving birth and names the child in bitterness Ichabod. The glory has departed from Israel. And the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant back to their land and put it in the temple with Dagon. And now let me preach that the God of Israel can certainly defend himself He doesn't need anybody's help. And when you mess with Israel, you mess with the apple of his eye. And I will bless those that bless Israel. That doesn't mean everything they do is right. That doesn't mean that everything that they're involved in is right. That doesn't mean they don't have all kinds of issues. The bottom line is God and you're not. And he chose that people. He sent his Savior. He gave you that Bible through that people. He gave you everything that you have in your faith came through the Jewish people and the nation and the land of Israel. And God said to the Philistines then, and he says to the Israeli people now, up until this very moment, it was not your Air Force that kept you safe. It was not the wealth of America that kept you safe. God's used us, and thank God for it, but none of that can hold back the enemies. There's one thing that's holding back the enemy in their life and in your life. Devils would have already killed you. The enemy would have already taken your kids out if they could. But I'm so glad that God knows how to defend, and God knows how. And you know what happened? They brought the Ark of the Covenant, put it in the temple of Dagon, their statue god, and the next day they came in and he was falling over and broken into pieces. And then God started afflicting them with diseases. And they got so sick that they put the Ark of the Covenant on a cart, and it didn't have anybody to drive it because they were afraid and none of them wanted to get near it. And so they just hit the oxen on the rear end with something and said, go away. And it was led by the Holy Spirit all the way back to the border of Israel and then went across the border on its own. Now listen. All of that darkness happened at Ebenezer. And this is where we pick up the story in 1 Samuel 7 when it says that Samuel offered a sacrifice and called the people to prayer to repent of their sins. And as they were repenting and the ark is coming over the border, the Philistines said, we might as well hit them now. While they're not expecting it, while they're having church, while they're down praying, we can attack them and wipe them out. And the Bible said God thundered from heaven. All he's got to do is thunder. All he's got to do is throw lightning if he wants to. He can send flies. He can send lice. He can send frogs. He can send anything. He can send a locust of grasshopper, an army of grasshoppers, and defeat the biggest army and nation in the world, including America. You don't mess with God. And when he thundered from heaven, the Bible said they were confused and they were defeated. And then he took a huge stone and he said, from this point forward, I'm going to call this stone the very place of their greatest defeat became the very place of one of their greatest victories. And I don't know what you're going through, but I feel like telling you it ain't over yet. The story's still being written. Don't put a comma. Don't put a period where God puts a comma, because he's still writing. He's going to turn the page, and what was meant for you evil and what should have wiped you out, God will say, if you hadn't gone through this, I couldn't give you this. And that all was qualifying you to get on your face and repent and really love me for the right reason. And he said, we're going to call this place up to this very moment. And this ought to be our testimony. The Bible said in Revelation 12 that we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. So what do you do, Pastor, when you feel the storm is brewing? What do you do when you're worried about the future? What do you do when something's going on in your life and you feel like, ooh, it's bad clouds are coming? You know, here's what you do. You use the words of your testimony and you just get this word Ebenezer. This is the Ebenezer principle. You just get it in your spirit and you say, well, you know, I'm not saying that I won't have trouble times. I'm not saying that I won't have circumstances that are going to be dark. I'm not saying I won't have tough times. I know that there are going to be things that come in the future. Here's what you worry about. You can't do nothing about all the stuff that might be brewing out there. Here's our response as believers up until this very moment. I'm standing right here. I mean, I started out a little country boy from Eastern North Carolina. I didn't have no money. I didn't have nothing except the anointing and the presence of God and a hunger for God. And I shouldn't be where I am. I don't know. Y'all should have got a much better pastor than me. You deserve the best, and I'm not that good. But all I can tell you is every time I walk up here, the Lord has helped me this far, and I feel His help in this room right now. Somebody needs to hear this. Somebody watching me by television needs to hear. He has been your help. He is your help, and He will be your help. Don't sweat it. Woo. Israel's God is more than capable of defending Himself and defending His people. The literal word Ebenezer means stone of help. And if I look back over our lives, Sharice, 38 years, I see stones of help. Every trial, every good and bad thing we had under the foundation of our marriage and our family and have up until this very point. We don't know what the future is going. You don't know what your future holds. But what a consolation and what a testimony to have to look at the devil and say, all I know is up until this very moment right here in this place. Say it with a little attitude. Put your hand on your hip. The Lord has helped me. Do I need to tell you a bunch of stories to make you shout? I'm talking to you, too. When I say me, I'm talking about you. I'm using me as an illustration. But you, look at you. Did none of you ride mules to church this morning? Let me show you another one of those hitherto right up until this moment scriptures. In 1 Chronicles, David says this. David says in 1 Chronicles 17 and 16, I love this. Now see it and then we'll come back to it. But look at me. Let me give you the build up to this verse. David was king of Israel. Started out as a shepherd boy, had nothing but the anointing, and now he's the king of Israel. And he says, God, I really want to build you a house. I want to show my appreciation. I really want to build your house. And God said, I'm not going to let you build my house. I'm going to let your son do it. Because I'm a multi-generational God, and some things that I put in your heart, you won't fulfill and see it, but the next generation will. And you will see this, but you won't do it. And then God, this is what got me this week. If we really knew how much God loves us when we love Him, and even when we don't love Him, if we really understood how kind He is, this is the man who murdered a guy because he wanted his wife. This is the guy who committed adultery. This is the guy who did all kinds of things. He cut people up you should read the Bible. It's unbelievable the things he did. I don't even want to talk about them. They're gruesome. And that's what God said. He said, you can't build me a temple because you're too bloody. Real men belong in the church. We don't need little sissified little men in the church. We need some real men. You don't have to quit being a man. You can still be a man in the church. Y'all looking at me partly cloudy, so I'll just... We need some men in the church. God is a wild. He likes men. And I'm not talking about angry, violent men. I'm talking about when he was a man, but he was anointed. And watch this. God said, you can't build me a house, but I love you so much and I love your heart so much that just because you wanted to, just because you had a desire to build my house, I'm not going to use your gifting in that. I'm going to use your sons. But just because you love my house so much and want the best for my house, I'm going to build you a house. You can't outdo God. I'm going to build you such a house, such a palace that you're not going to believe it. And now, this God who David wanted to build him a house just because he wanted to do it, do you understand how giving he is? Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Now he's sitting in the blessing of God and he makes this statement. And David the king came and sat before the Lord. This is when, after he moved into his new place that God had blessed him with. Who am I? And, oh, Lord God, who is my family? Who is my house? Who are my children and children's children that you have brought me hitherto? I want a spirit of gratitude to come up in this church. I want us to realize that that's what I started saying this week in prayer. Who am I? Who am I? I said it down there while the worship was going. Who am I? Who is my family? We forget where we came from. We forget we wouldn't have nothing without his goodness and his mercy and his love. My Lord, you ought to ask yourself, who am I? Who am I, my Lord? I mean, are you blessed? Up to this point, God has blessed me. Let me tell you who my rock is. Acts 4 and verse 11. He has set it naught so that the stone rejected by the builders has become the chief cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other name. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is my Ebenezer. As the name Ichabod memorialized the glory of God departing, Ebenezer memorializes the rock Jesus Christ and the glory coming back to his people. And it came through that man wrapped up in flesh named Jesus. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20 said that we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. My stone of help is Jesus Christ. He helps me in my family. He helps me in my marriage. He helps me in this church. He helps me do what he's called me to do. He helps me in my health. He helps me in every area, in every decision. He is my stone of help. And who am I? So powerful was this house that God built David. That in Matthew chapter 1 in verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Whew. You talking about building. Jesus came through that house. Said, I'm going to build you a house, and then I'm going to make sure Jesus goes right through that house to the world. Who am I? Do you know how many people are lost? Do you know how many people have never sat in a service and felt the presence of God? Do you know how many people who think they have everything and they have nothing and one day they will perish and go into eternity? But who am I and who is my family that God would bring me to this very point? We're going to be all right. God has been our help, my stone of help. I close with this. I was in my office yesterday morning, and I heard this verse come up in my spirit, and you don't want to miss this, because I know when the Lord speaks to me. And this verse came up, this scripture. I knew the scripture. I didn't know where it was, as usual. And 1 Samuel 11 in verse 9. Israel was in a mess again. And the Bible said, the prophet said, by the time tomorrow, about this time, by the time the sun gets hot, you shall have help. What does that mean? By the time the sun gets hot, sometimes God waits on it to get hot. That's when you grow. That's when you really learn how to trust Him. Not when everything's perfect all the time, but by the time the trial gets hot. By the time the sun gets hot, I know how much you can bear. I won't put more on you than you're able to bear. I'm going to step in just in the nick of time, and you shall have help.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.